You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Hello, and what is shaking, everybody? It is time for the Wind Up Podcast, and I am your host, Mike of MTGA Wines. We are in the home stretch, people. We got this episode and one more before we enter 2025, a new year, a brand new season of the Wind Up Podcast that will be coming your way. And since we've been dwelling on a lot of intense conversations, I want to try and have a little bit more of a lighthearted episode to kind of round this year out. We'll have a couple of them, actually. But we are going to dive into still kind of like the business side of it and kind of the honest outlook I have. We talked a lot last week about kind of the doom and gloom of the industry. We've talked a lot about the crazy kind of implosion of grape prices in Napa, the downturn in hospitality and tourism and all this other kind of stuff over the last few weeks and couple of months, actually. And this episode, I really want to dive into the, you know, what's next. We're looking at a new year staring us down the pipeline. Like, what the hell are we going to be doing about it? And realistically, why is it not that big of a deal? It is a big deal, but I think that there's a lot of good things that are going to be coming out of this. And I want to give a lot of kind of very personal insight into that. Before we do, as always, a few last minute announcements before we get into the new year. Number one, next week is our question and answer episode. If you have any questions that you would like to have answered on the show, you can submit them through any number of things. You can go to any of our social networks at MTGA Wines. That's Instagram, YouTube, the Book of Face, and the social network formerly known as Twitter. You can slide into our DMs on any one of those. Be sure to drop us a follow or a like or subscribe while you're at it. Number two, you can head to our website, mtgawines.com. If you scroll down on that homepage a little ways, there's an email form. You can submit your questions through there as well. We'll try and get through as many of those questions as possible over the course of next week's episode. It's always great that you guys are able to submit them. We've had some great ones over the last few weeks, actually last few months, because we do this Q&A episode at the end of every month. Very excited to get back into it. Number two, we are still brought to you by Premier Crew. That's CRUclothing.com. You can head to that website, enter the code Premier for 20% off your first order. We've got a few different custom t-shirts and styles, some of them made right here in the good old US of A that are wine themed and kind of kitschy and fun. Don't know if they'll be able to get to you before the holidays, since Christmas is quite literally 5 days away. But if you need a little something or you need that last minute gift because you forgot to order stuff for somebody like I did, go for it. It's the best way to go about it, I think, anyway. Remember, that's Premier Crew, CRUclothing.com, using the code Premier during checkout to get 20% off that first order. Okay, let's just dive right into it, shall we? This is coming out actually on Thursday, December 19th. It'll be posted this afternoon. Yesterday, I typically release our episodes on Wednesday. And I was kind of in a place at the beginning of this week. We're still kind of in the process of wrapping up our year. We're getting a lot of accounting and reconciling done. We're looking at, you know, the pending orders that we have, what we're doing with our distributors, the outreach that we're doing. We're starting to dive into kind of our travel plans and where we're going to be next year. And given kind of the doom and gloom that we've posted and talked a lot about on this show, I was having a really hard time at the end of last week, kind of through the weekend and beginning of this week, you know, seeing the forest through the trees. And it's moments like this when we're getting into kind of this slower time of year, as great as, you know, this second half of 2024 has been, I think for many people, including ourselves in the wine business, it is still a very challenging year that we've had to deal with. To put that in perspective, you know, this is probably going to be a little bit of an overshare, but the second half of this year, Q3, Q4 for us as a wine business were the best two quarters we've had, or Q3, Q4 that we've ever had as a business. And despite that, we're still down in sales for the year. That tells you how bad the first half of this year had to be. If we've had kind of record-breaking stuff happen over the last, you know, 6 months, and we're still down on the year, that's the craziness that's happened right now. And that's really, really kind of the main reason why I've had a hard time seeing the forest through the trees and trying to kind of figure out how the hell are we going to get into 2025? Because if we're, you know, breaking records in terms of the number of bottles we've sold, you know, the amount of dollars coming in through the fall, but it, you know, we're playing all this catch up. Are we going to be able to catch up? This year was the first time that Brittany and I had to put a bunch of money back into the business just to be able to pay our bills. And, you know, we're carrying credit card balances and things and just making payments until we get to our next wine club shipment. Like, it's like times are tight. And when you, of course, you know, that just kind of exacerbates itself when you start looking through all your accounts, you start reconciling everything. You're like, Jesus, this is just so crazy. You still see all the bills that are going to be coming down the pipeline. We got a bottling run that we're planning for in February. It just never stops. And that is where kind of like this doom and gloom feeling, I think, is coming from. Because I'll tell you right now, like the amount of people we talk to, like the amount of people that are getting laid off right now, the amount of people that have been told straight up, like, hey, sorry, there's no holiday bonus. There's not going to be a raise next year. Like, we are strapping down. Like, we're just in a tight spot. And that's just the way it is. Everybody is feeling it right now. It's kind of crazy. And it's one of those things where it's kind of nice. You know, misery loves company. In that sense, all of us are like, you know, at least we're not the only ones. We're not the only ones struggling. And at least we have some good trends going into the new year in the sense of like, hey, we've had a great 5 to 6 months now. Let's try and take that momentum and carry it over into the new year. So I think that's what kind of bodes really, really well for, you know, our business, but also quite a few other wine businesses that, you know, felt this rocky patch quite a bit, but are now looking forward and saying, hey, we did the best we could this year. Yes, times are tight. Yes, we're having to be very, very frugal, but we've had a really great stretch, and that bodes very, very well. So as much doom and gloom as there has been over the course of this last year, even 2 years, you know, there are people feeling this a year ago, 2 years ago even, you know, as we're going from the latter half of 22 was really kind of the first time we saw this downturn start to unfold. And through 2023, there were some people that were like, oh yeah, it's getting really, really tight. And there were some of us that were like, hey, we're doing all right. So we'll take that for what it's worth. And then 24, for I think a lot of people, it really started to jam on the brakes. I mean, granted, it's an election year. Things are always crazy during election years because there's just a level of uncertainty for many, many people. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. That's just how it is. We all know this. You know, and we still have kind of this, you know, we've talked a little bit about kind of the post-COVID world where happy hours are back to their normal 5 p.m. start time. They're no longer noon, right, when you're working from the home office. So times are just kind of getting back to a little bit more normalcy. And I do think that the wine industry is a little bit saturated right now. I think it is somewhat going the way of the craft beer world where there are just too many brands. And you're going to start to see the market contract and constrict. And you're going to see a lot of M&A mergers and acquisitions happen down the road. In fact, I mean, we just saw Flora Springs officially sell to Gina Gallo and Jean-Charles Boisset with their new venture called Venus, I believe it's called. You've seen, of course, the breakup of Vintage Wine Estates and all those pieces kind of moving and shifting around. There's going to be more of that, I imagine, because you're going to see some of these businesses that have been struggling and trying to figure things out. And there might only be one way out, and that might be just to sell. They might be in too deep of a hole, and it's time to close up shop and figure out what's next. So, you know, I say we're going to have this nice, fun, kind of lighthearted episode, and here we are kind of spelling out all of the doom and gloom that's possible. And I'm trying to, you know, I've tried to kind of shake that feeling of doom and gloom, and I'm much more chipper today than I was yesterday, the day before, Monday, even over this weekend. I was like, how am I going to record this show and not just be miserable? Talking about this year, how we're wrapping it up, and kind of continuing this conversation that we've been having through the months of, you know, November and here into December. It's been hard for me to see, again, that forest through the trees. I use that turn of phrase all the time, because I think for any of us, in whatever industry we're in, we have these moments where we just get into the weeds, right? And it's hard to figure out which way is up and what is actually working and what isn't working. And let me give you a prime time example of this.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Because this is one of those moments, and I think anyone who's, you know, owns their own business or practice or whatever has had these moments where things slow down, or you're uncertain, or money is tight, or whatever, you're trying to expand and you're going through these growing pains. And you have to be creative. You have to keep the door open. You can't just shut down and kind of stick to your guns. And that was something that we did this year, actually, with working with, you know, distributors again. It's been a long time since we've tried to get our wines out into restaurants and retail shops, just in Napa, much less, you know, around the country. And we've seen some great success in Texas and in the state of Missouri. It's been a very good time. Now, the downside of that, as many of you have heard me harp on over the course of this, you know, episode, or a course of, you know, different episodes, is that it's really tough for small producers to make the wholesale game and distribution make sense, right? Because we have to discount our wine so heavily, the margins just aren't there to make it make sense. But in a slow, tough year, cash in the bank is still cash in the bank. And I'll put it this way, had we not adjusted and said, hey, let's see if we can't get back out into some of these markets and sell some wine elsewhere, we would have gone under this year, plain and simple. Had we not pivoted and made these adjustments and tried to sell wine through different avenues, MTGA would have rolled up shop this year. We would not have had any money to pay for our grapes, our barrels, and we would not have been able to get through the latter part of this year. And even then, like I mentioned earlier, we still had to put some money into the business just to kind of keep up with things. And as we look forward into the new year, it's like, okay, we're kind of behind the eight ball here. What can we do next year to kind of capitalize on some of these things? What are some of the options? What can we do to kind of keep things moving forward in a positive direction rather than continue to exacerbate the issues that we've experienced over the last 12 months? And this is where I do get excited, because this is where you get to start throwing stuff at the wall. This is probably why I'm a little bit more chipper now than I have been over the last week or so, is quite simply because the opportunities are endless. You know, everyone's feeling it. There are a lot of us out here right now that are just still sticking to the, hey, a rising tide raises all ships. Let's do the best we can to support one another, and we're going to figure this out. And it's going to be just fine. We just have to be very frugal. We have to be very diligent. We have to be very, very focused on kind of that end goal. Now, it is interesting kind of looking back, just kind of as like a moment of reflection over the last few weeks and, of course, throughout this year. It is interesting kind of looking at just the number of bottles we've sold over the last year. And we've sold more bottles of wine this year than we ever have, which is a crazy thought. But again, we're still down in terms of overall sales. And that's really the the double-edged sword of that wholesale business and selling wine through distributors and to restaurants and retail shops is, again, you're discounting the wine so much, you're not nearly getting as much margin on those wines, so there's just less money in the bank. So that's tough. That's a tough thing to see. That's what really stuck it to me at the end of last week and through the week. And I was like, we've sold so much wine. We're like, the growth that we've kind of planned for and the things that we're looking to do, like, we're right there. But the margins just aren't there. And that's the game. There's really nothing we can do. I can't go to a distributor or to some of these wine shops or restaurants and be like, hey, by the way, we're doubling our prices because the margins don't make sense. They're just not going to carry the wine. Plain and simple. So you have to play the game. It's their game. It's their rules. If you're going to dive into it, you got to play it their way. And like I said, had we not done that, we wouldn't have had enough money in the bank anyway to pay our bills. So they were great opportunities when it was all said and done. As much as that dagger kind of hurt, it was like, hey, this is something that we can build on. And this is something that we can, you know, create within kind of the facet of the wine, this facet of the wine business for ourselves and kind of make it our own and make it work for us. There are plenty of ways to go about doing this. And I think we've really been able to strategize, you know, and kind of find this path or this strategy, a good strategy, I should say, and find a good path to walk down to make it work for our business. And this is something that I think every single wine business right now is trying to do. Every single wine business is trying to sort this out. Some people are spending a lot more time on the road. I've had friends of mine that have been traveling nonstop throughout the entire fall, when normally you kind of have these peaks and valleys because you want to be here to host guests, you know, in the tasting rooms, at the wineries, whatever the case may be. But so few people were coming to Napa over the last, you know, 12 months that they're like, well, we got to go sell wine somehow. And those that couldn't kind of find ways to bring in revenue, some of those positions got axed, and those folks are now out of a job. We're seeing this kind of winter shakeup right now of businesses that are like, hey, we can't afford to keep you on full time. You know, we're either going to have to furlough you, or you're going to be laid off for now, or whatever the case is. Maybe this position comes available, or you're going to be going down to part time instead of full time. Like, folks are having to figure out ways to get through it. You know, and some of it sucks. Some of it really does suck. But if any of these wine businesses, I mean, are doing half of the due diligence that we are in terms of trying to create opportunities, you know, hopefully they'll be okay in the long run. And hopefully some of their employees will also be okay in the long run. I think, you know, I'm rambling quite a bit because I'm still trying to kind of like wrap my head around like what the next steps are exactly. Because I feel as though this is still something that's kind of my gut instinct. I don't have anything that can kind of back this up, except for one reference point that I'll give you. But I always feel like the wine industry is inherently terrible at planning and preparing and adjusting what we do to kind of fit the current atmosphere and the current trends. The best case, this is something that I love seeing, because the Napa Valley Vintners put out they did a big direct-to-consumer like summit. I want to say it was down at Copia, down in Napa. So you had a bunch of wineries attend. They were kind of talking shop about, you know, marketing and expanding some of these opportunities and trying to build on them. And inevitably the topic of social media comes up. And this is something I love it when it comes up in these conferences, because it's hilarious, because people are still arguing about whether or not social media and marketing in that way can be effective. And apparently people at this seminar finally realize that, hey, you know, Instagram posts are meant to be really good, like thoughtful, you know, interesting posts. Maybe some are for the memes. And then your stories are more like 24-hour quick flash in the pan, like notifications. And you're like, you don't say. You know what's also funny about social media marketing is that people don't go there to be sold to. They go there to live vicariously and doom scroll and get a dopamine hit. They're not there for you to buy something. So you're just inherently trying to have a presence so you stay front of mind. It's like it's quite literally, you know, take any kind of take a funny Super Bowl ad. That's what social media marketing is. Yeah, there's a product involved. You know there's a product involved, but damn it, it made you laugh. And that was fun, right? Does anyone remember, like, this was years ago. This is probably like 20 years ago now. Maybe not quite that much. But the 1 second, like, Miller High Life commercial. Anyone, there's got to be someone out there that saw it. I might be the only one. I don't know. It was only a second long. This was probably, it was probably like 17 years ago, 18 years ago, something like that. And it was quite literally just, it was when that big black dude was doing the commercials. And the one, it was just stacks of High Life and a bunch of like sparklers going off. And it was just High Life. And then the commercial ended. That was all. That was it. And you're like, that was hilarious. What was even better about that commercial is we had a buddy of mine that was like waiting to see it and like got up to go grab some more like chips and guac or something and missed it. Oh, I was like, sorry, man. It was only 1 second. You missed it. I don't know what to tell you. But it was entertaining, right? That's the point. It was entertaining, as many of these Super Bowl commercials are. And that's what social media is supposed to be. And for some reason, wineries still can't figure it out. It's been 20 years, people. Figure it out already, okay? Like, gone are the days, unfortunately, of like the MySpace and HTML coding that you could do and actually kind of learn part of a skill. But at least, you know, at least try and entertain some people. And also all the faux, like, fake photos of like, here's this beautiful portrait of the winemaker gently thiefing or a wine out of a barrel or caressing the grapes. You're like, that's not at all what happens. You see my Instagram post from the last couple of days of when you accidentally turn a pump up instead of off and wine goes everywhere because you created a geyser. That's what happens in cellars. And that's what people, oddly enough, like learning about, not so much just what product you're trying to sell them. Anyway, I digress. It's always funny seeing, it's why I don't go to these conferences anymore, because it's just...
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
It's hilarious how behind the times people are in this industry. They just don't keep up with anything. And it's very, very insular. The wine industry tends to kind of set itself aside from every other consumer good, which is always very strange to me. Because the first place I look for new ideas, new marketing techniques, new thoughts is outside of the wine industry. There's a lot of great tradition and a lot of cool things that the wine world has done. This is one of the reasons why we don't do ratings or reviews. We don't post ads in any publications. The only thing we really do now is work with the Napa Valley Vintners and participate in some of their events around the country. We'll be doing Premier Napa Valley this year for wholesalers and restaurateurs and things. So there are some kind of more traditional marketing techniques and avenues that we do use, but for the most part, I try to ignore the overwhelming majority of that stuff because a lot of it's just being a stick in the mud. Zero progress, or very little progress, I should say. So when I'm feeling stressed and overwhelmed and I'm looking at the doom and gloom of the industry and seeing this conference of how laughable people's efforts are to try and stay relevant, it's like, okay, what is everyone else doing? Because if that's what they're doing and it's not working, we need to be doing something completely different. One of the big things was, of course, starting this show and just kind of talking shop and laying a lot of this stuff out there to hopefully have more of a back and forth conversation with people about the wine industry, its inner workings. And a lot of you have really kind of latched onto this business side of it, which I love talking about because typically we don't have a chance to. You know, it's all the back end stuff that happens, you know, behind the curtain. The Wizard of Oz is back there. You don't get to see him, but it does happen. You know, a lot of it gets absorbed into kind of the romance of winemaking and the vineyards and the scenery and kind of this, you know, constant vacation that you get to see through social media, right? And it's one of those things where it is just like, okay, again, if everyone else is kind of moving this direction, if everyone else is just figuring out what Instagram is and how to use it, it's probably time for us to start looking at the next thing, which is why we jumped on doing a podcast almost 2 years ago now, which is crazy to think. You know, in March, it'll be 2 years we've been doing this thing. It's one of the reasons why we try and do more things on the road. It's why when so many people are like, hey, this is actually kind of funny, why would you ever join the Napa Valley Vintners? This is a fun story for another time. But as soon as we joined, it wasn't like, oh, that's good. You're actually going to be using some of the resources. The overwhelming thing that people told us when we joined the Napa Valley Vintners, kind of the marketing agency that manages Napa, it's no longer Vintners, it's a bunch of marketing people. The Vintners are involved to a certain extent, but it's more kind of honorary and like board member type stuff. Like we kind of get to oversee it, but it is certainly its own kind of weird entity. But the thing that people always told us is, why? Why would you do that? Do you really think you're going to get anything out of them? What was kind of hilarious, this is one of those moments I can't say who it was because they might actually get in trouble, but I got a phone call from someone because my dad, and of course some of you know the Todd and the personality he had a little bit of a falling out with the Vintners years ago. And I know some of the story, but I'm sure it's only a portion of it. But I got a call from a friend of mine. They're like, hey, do you think we could get Todd involved again? Because if I could get him involved, that would be a great feather in my cap to kind of like hang over everybody. Be like, ooh, look what I did. I got this boisterous guy to actually be a part of the thing again. And I said, you know, I would love to do that for you, but I don't know if you know this, but he had a falling out with them some time ago. I don't know the full story, but long story short, he kind of just hates the Vintners. And this person came back to me and was like, well, so does everybody else, but we're trying to, you know, we're trying to change that. And I'm like, ugh, crazy. So everyone else is already like on this train of like, oh, why would you work with them? Oh, we don't like working with them. It's a pain in the ass. And I'm like, but is it? Because I kind of drank that Kool-Aid for a while, mostly because of who I'm related to and how much shit he would talk. And now we're doing the opposite. We're saying, you know what? Fuck it. Let's dive into this. Let's spend the next couple of years trying to rationalize this because there are monthly dues. We had to pay like an initiation fee. So, you know, we're in the hole going into this, no matter what. Can we get some ROI on this? And believe you me, I have a spreadsheet tracking all of that information. And we already have a lot of things that we would like to see, you know, or a lot of, you know, little things where we'd like to see some improvement, right? Like, don't just sit there and complain, like actually be solution oriented, right? This is another one of my rambling long stories, longer, but again, kind of looking through different avenues. And the Napa Valley Vintners is not a new thing, right? But they've been around a long time. In the current kind of iteration, you know, it's really been kind of like this 20, 30 year thing. And there are a lot of people that don't like it, but here we are, this small, still pretty unknown brand. We're like, fuck it, let's throw our hat into this ring and let's see if we can get some stuff to stick to the wall. We might as well. Everyone else is telling us not to, but why is that? You know, everyone's just figuring out when this Instagram thing is a thing. What is next? What's new? What's exciting? Everyone is saying that the industry is doomed, that there's this new prohibitionist movement, and then doctors are actively telling people alcohol is just verboten, bad for you. You know, how are we going to fight this? How could we possibly fight this? Costs are rising exorbitantly. Like, how can we possibly mitigate this and do these things? How can we stay in business? You know, we've sold more wine than we ever have before, yet we're still down in sales. Like, what is going on here? There's all of these things over the course of the last year, 2 years, that have stacked up against all of us in this industry. And for some reason, I feel like there are moments where I feel like I'm the only one that kind of feels like hopeful, because there's a lot of people out there right now that are just, they go through everything we've kind of laid out so far in this episode. And they're just like, it's hard to see it. It's hard to feel like it's worth it. Shoot, that the amount of times over the last 8 months that I've like, man, this might be MTGA's last year. Like that has been a very present thought. And that's a tough thing to try and wrap your head around when you've dedicated, you know, 15 years of your life to something. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, I know it's not gonna be. You know, when I finally got this business up and running, I was like, let's get to year 5. And then it was like, get to year 10. And now it's been like, all right, let's get to year 20. It's like every time we're just kind of doubling down and saying, all right, like, what's next? And we've had a lot of really great years. This is the first year in a long time that we've really had to struggle and button and buckle down. In fact, it's probably been like 6 years, you know, since that point. Because 2019, even 2020, 1, 2, 23, you know, 24 is the first year since 2018 that this was kind of a struggle, which is, we're very lucky. And I think there are a lot of businesses right now that are quite simply out over their skis. And I'm seeing this in many, many industries and even with nonprofits and like other organizations. It seems like things have just been so good for so long. And now there's this shakeup happening across many, many different fields, and no one knows which way's up. It's kind of crazy, actually. And when you can kind of relate to some of these other industries, I mean, granted, alcohol kind of stands alone between all the laws and regulations and permitting and like all this other stuff that we have to deal with. It's a very crazy business on the kind of admin side of things compared to many others. But, you know, we're not the only ones suffering right now. And it's one of my favorite quotes that I've heard probably over the last, you know, 5-6 years or something. And I'm probably going to screw it up, but I'm going to do the best I can. And it's, I might be paraphrasing, but what is it? It's hard times make hard men make soft times make weak men make hard times. And I feel as though we're kind of in this weird spot where we're kind of in the soft people making hard times phase, where it was so good for so long for a lot of things that, hey, granted, there's exceptions, right? You have big old recessions in 08 to 11. You have the dot-com bust. You have, you know, crazy things like, you know, terrorist attacks and 9/11. Like, you've got all these crazy extenuating circumstances. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, within just, like, down-home industry and kind of what's affecting us personally as an industry, it feels as though that we've created a lot of these hard times because we've kind of rested on our laurels. We have not been nearly as creative or forward-thinking as we should be where we are right now. We've just ridden this huge wave and boom of the wine industry over the last 15 years, and now the rubber's hitting the road, and people are freaking out because they don't know what to do. This is something that I've seen happen with salespeople within the industry. That there's a reason why we call kind of the springtime is always kind of the spring shakeup out here. It's when a lot of people change jobs and switch careers or companies or whatever the case is. And what's really interesting is that you see salespeople, especially pretty talented salespeople, move around more often than you would think. The main reason for this, as much as they might not like to admit it, is that once they've been at a place for 2 or 3 years, they've sold basically everything they can to all of the clients that they can. They're not great business development people. They're great sales people. Can they create a bigger list and broader reach and bring more people into the fold? Not necessarily. If there's people already on that list, or if they have their own list, which many, many people do. In fact, it's something that I know plenty of salespeople that look to hire, and they're like, hey, so who do you have on your list? What can you bring? Who is coming with you from whatever brands you've been with over the years? What clients are you, in essence, going to be poaching from them and bringing to us? That's a serious consideration. They're looking for new, fresh blood to sell, you know, more wine to. But at a certain point, that caps out. And if you're in charge of bringing new people into the fold and you don't know how to do that, or you're not good at doing that, you end up with a lot of wine you can't sell. Man, and I've seen that happen over and over and over again. And it's a shame, because I've been in charge of one of those programs kind of after the fact, and I've had to tell people, like, hey, this is a complete, like, rebuild. Like, this person who is in this position, they took all your clients with them, because they're not your clients, they're their clients. And that sucks. But you wanted to make a big splash in the pan in terms of sales. You did that for 2 or 3 years. You got that money. It's time to move on and actually build this into something. I'm trying to remember what my point was. I had a really great point. But it's, I think what I was trying to get at was kind of going back to that, like, brand building. Like any, and again, anyone can sell you something once. Can you create a brand advocate? Can you create a vibe and an emotional tie to what it is you do so that when you go through these hard times, you have people you can call and say, hey, we're having a bit of a tough time right now. It means so much if we could, you know, take care of your holiday gifts this season. It would do us a solid. We'll do what we can to get the wine out to you quickly, efficiently. We'll wrap it. We got note cards that we can write personalized messages on. Like, whatever you need, we'll make it happen. Some of you have done that, which we adore. And that has honestly made the difference in this month for us as a wine business, you know? But that's because we've built great relationships with people. It's not because I'm just a salesperson saying, hey, buy the new shiny thing. I mean, obviously, I have to do some of that as a business owner. But more often than not, what we've tried to do as a wine business is foster great relationships and create an emotional connection. That way, people feel as though they actually belong here rather than feel like they are still kind of on the outside or the outskirts of the wine industry. That's always been kind of at the forefront of what we do. And so many places still kind of act as these gatekeepers of, oh, well, if you want this wine, well, we don't have that wine. I mean, we do, but you don't have access to it. You have to buy at least a case or a six pack of this wine, and then you have to be in the club for X amount of time if you want access to that. And, you know, by the way, you know, we would charge you a tasting fee. Normally that's $150 a person, but if you buy a minimum of 6 bottles, then maybe we can consider waiving one of those. Like, it's just like there's so many people kind of like reverting right now to this really exclusive, like exclusionary kind of like mentality. And they're not looking forward to like, how do we build through this? Because, I mean, this is when you hit these tough years in any industry, it's a wall that's in front of you. Can you go around it? Can you dig a tunnel under it? Can you build over it? How do you get around it? That has to become your focus. So whether it's like things like us joining the vintners or diving more into the wholesale market or doing a podcast or working harder on your social media content, participating in events around the country, around the world even, you have to find these things and you have to be creative. Because if you don't do these things, if you don't try and move forward and grow within what it is you're doing, you end up getting left in the dust. There are hundreds of great wines in Napa. Thousands, tens of thousands maybe, of great wines in Napa. Take that to the West Coast, the United States, North America, South America, around the world. There's a lot of great wine to choose from. In these tough times, what is going to make people decide they want your wine versus somebody else's? And very typically, it's going to be the connection they have and the experience they had with you that's going to stand out compared to other people. And you need to look forward to figure out how you can do that better as a company, whether you're in the wine industry or not, any industry. How can you garner favor with your customer base compared to those around you? That's what it comes down to, right? That's what I like to think so. Or that's what I like to think. Gosh, this was such a weird rambling episode. Hopefully it made some kind of sense. That 40 minutes went by really, really fast. It's very interesting. Every year I get very, very reflective this time of year. And I think, you know, we try and do kind of the, you know, the harvest wrap up, kind of let folks know kind of where a season like 2024 took us, and we'll do the same thing as we go into 2025 as well. We'll definitely do more seller updates on how these vintages are going. But I love talking about this business side of things and kind of the mentality that we as wine businesses, I think, need to embrace in terms of bringing more people into the fold, being more transparent, talking more shop, trying new things, trying to move forward, and not just keep looking back at how great things were. And man, it sucks that they're not that way anymore. 2020, hindsight, rose-colored glasses, whatever you want to call it, that's a great way to lose focus and ensure that you miss out on the opportunities that are right in front of you. All right, that was probably the best wrap-up I've ever had. We're signing off with that. Oh God, I got so excited I'm throwing things. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wind Up Podcast. Oh, that was a lot to get off my chest. I appreciate you tuning in. That was a little bit more intense than I thought it was going to be. But it was a fun one. I had fun. Hopefully you had fun. Be sure to follow us on all of our social networks at MTGA Wines. That's YouTube, Instagram, the Book of Face, the social network formerly known as Twitter. Head to Premier Crew, that's cruclothing.com for 20% off your first order. Be sure to like, rate, review, subscribe to the show, share it with your wine-loving friends. And last but certainly not least, for those of you that have questions that you would like to have featured or answered in next week's Q&A, you still have time to submit those with the Christmas holiday. Oh my gosh, that's going to be like right around the holiday, isn't it? That episode is going to get released on the 25th. I'll probably record it on the 24th, as a matter of fact. So you got a couple of days to submit your questions. Head to mtgawines.com, scroll down on that homepage to find the little email form. That way you can submit them, or you can slide into our DMs on any one of those social networks that I mentioned previously. Thank you all so much for the amazing support. I look forward to continuing this conversation as we get into the new year, as we're looking forward and seeing what is next for this amazing industry that, frankly, we all get to be a part of as wine lovers, makers, marketers, sellers, whatever the case may be, consumers. All of us get to be a part of this in some way, shape, or form, and we're all in this together. And man, I wouldn't want to be hanging out with anybody else. Have a great rest of your day, great weekend. Happy Christmas, holidays, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah was a while ago, Festivus, I think that's a thing. Y'all are the best. Love you. Mean it. See you next week.